Only God knows what has led each of us to be here this evening. Maybe this is your regular Lenten ritual, your pilgrimage of faith, to take stock, to be renewed in your faith and hope. Or maybe something has happened in your life, bad or good, that leaves you groping for some meaning this evening, groping even for faith for the first time. Whatever leads you or drives you to be here, this is where God wants you to be. I hope and pray that you will find God's love in the depths of whatever you might be going through at this moment in time. Some years ago, I was preaching at an evening service in the Diocese of Liverpool, and I began the sermon by saying that if people had come just to hear the bishop preaching, then they were likely to go away disappointed. But that if they had come expecting to hear God speaking to them, then that just might happen. As I stood at the door at the end of the service, shaking hands with everybody as they left, I was conscious of someone holding back in the shadows. When everyone had gone, he emerged. I have his permission to tell this. The man was one of the country's oldest and most famous comedians. He took my hand in both of his and said how that night he had come into the church and knelt down and begged, "Oh God, speak to me." He went on, "When you stood up and said what you did, if the heavens had opened and angels had appeared, I would have believed it." He died last week, and his funeral is on Wednesday, and his name is Ken Dodd. His widow, surprisingly, not knowing that I was going to mention it in my sermon this evening, rang me at 5:45 this morning. I'm tempted to say the same this evening, and pray that in this coming week, you will have some sense of God speaking to you as you lay your life open to him. As through this week we draw ever closer to the cross of Christ, it's as if God says to each one of us, "I have been waiting for this moment all of your life." So in each evening address, I will read briefly from Psalm 22, from which our Lord quoted when he was on the cross. I'll then offer a reflection, and at the end of the reflection, we'll then read one of the words of Jesus from the cross. That will be followed by a poem by either George Herbert or John Donne, and then I will read a verse from a well-known Easter hymn. Psalm 22, verses 9 to 11. "But it is you that took me out of the womb and laid me safe upon my mother's breast. On you was I cast ever since I was born. You are my God, even from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near at hand, and there is none to help me." On the cross, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is embraced by a triangle, a trinity of love. Although each in that trinity, in that triangle, is apparently silent as he suffers. The Trinity, the triangle, is made up of the Good Father at the apex of the triangle. He is silent. No words come, as they did at the baptism and at the transfiguration. The good Father is silent. At the base of the triangle and at one end of it is our Lord's good mother. She apparently is silent. And at the other end of the base of the triangle, the disciple, the beloved, he too is silent. Throughout his life, Jesus was sustained by these three loves. His mother ministering to him right from his nativity. The good Father throughout his life affirming him, my beloved child. And his beloved disciple, the warmth of whose body he felt as he lay against him at the Last Supper. Those three loves, that trinity of love sustaining our Lord. There is no rhyme nor reason to love. Indeed, the moment somebody says, I love you because you're wealthy or whatever it might be, that is no longer love. The moment you love somebody for some other reason, love evaporates. You love somebody because you love them. Many years ago, when our eldest daughter Harriet was very small, and I was being a rather soppy and sentimental father, and holding her in my arms, I looked into her face and I said to her, I don't know why, in the third person singular, you know, Harriet, Daddy loves you very much. She looked me back straight in the eye and pushed me away slightly and said, why do you love me? I nearly said, because you have lovely eyes and a beautiful face and pretty hair. And I'm so glad I didn't, because what would have happened if she had lost those lovely looks? Would she have thought then that she was no longer lovable? No, I said to her, Daddy loves you because he loves you, that's why. She was decidedly unimpressed and pushed me right away and went out of the room. But you know, that is exactly the question that the children of Israel asked of God in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Why has the Lord set his love upon us? We're not the greatest of people on the face of the earth. And the answer came, the Lord has set his love upon you because the Lord loves you. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he loves you. And if you were to take nothing away from this service tonight except this, you will be blessed if, as you put your head upon the pillow this night, you hear God saying to you, I love you because I love you. Because I love you. If you were to ask most people what they thought the Bible said about God, they would probably reply, well, the Bible tells us that God is love. But do you know this? God is love, that statement about God, is found only twice in the Bible. Never in the Gospels, never on the lips of Jesus, only twice. But of course, the Gospel and the Bible are full of stories about how God loves us, and sometimes in the most surprising ways. And here on the cross, Jesus does something extraordinary. He gives the two human beings who have sustained him with love in his life, he gives them to each other. The mother to the beloved disciple, and the beloved disciple to the mother. However much we are loved in this life, we take that final step of leaving the land of the dying to the world of the truly alive. We take that step on our own. Jesus did, and we do too. But on the cross, my friends, he left a legacy of love. And the question I want to leave hanging in the air is, as we contemplate our own mortality, what legacy of love shall we leave here in this place when we go from the land of the dying to the world of the truly alive? And Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple whom he loved, "Here is your mother." A legacy of love. A poem by George Herbert. "Jesus is in my heart. His sacred name is deeply carved there. But the other week a great affliction broke the little frame, e'en all to pieces, which I went to seek. After first I found the corner where was J, after where ES, and next where U was graved. When I got these parcels, instantly I sat me down to spell them and perceived that to my broken heart he was I-E-S-U, and to the whole is Jesus. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not in vain, that morn shall tearless be."